From the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida, welcome to Indigenous in the News. We'll be bringing you the current updates that affect us all. From the Shakers and the Makers in Indian Country, I'm your host, Larry Kay, from the Ho-Chunk Nation, along with Gary Wilcox from the Powhatan Nation. On today's show, we welcome from the Pawnee Tribe, Mr. Little Mike and Mr. Funnybone. Together, they form the Native Rapping Duo. They are singers, actors, and entrepreneurs. Today, we get a chance to meet them and hear all about their journey and what it took to get there. They stay real busy. They've had roles on the FX series, Reservation Dogs. And today, they'll talk about their new album, Vibin. All this and more, but first, the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A coastal piece of the Tsleil-Waututh Tribe's ancestral territory has been restored. The announcement coincides with the 47th anniversary of the tribe regaining federal recognition. KLCC's Brian Bull reports.
27 acres of Cape Foulweather on the Oregon coast have been reacquired by the Confederated Tribes of Tsleil-Waututh Indians. The tribe purchased the land from the Mackenzie River Trust last month with a $2 million grant from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
It really is an amazing opportunity for us to become stewards again.
Angela Sondana is director of the tribe's Natural Resources Department. She hopes to reintroduce cultural burning to the coastal prairie section to rejuvenate its ecosystem.
Cape Foulweather is an incredibly diverse and sensitive ecological area. It's been a cultural gathering site for millennia.
Sondana says it's been a good year for the Tsleil-Wautuths. Last December, President Biden signed a bill sponsored by Representative Val Hoyle, restoring gathering, fishing, and hunting rights to the tribe on their ancestral lands.
And it will provide direct opportunity for tribal members to gather and resume subsistence harvest in the rocky coastline there.
The Tsleil-Waututh Reservation was established in 1855 by Congress and President Franklin Pierce. It was further diminished through land cessions. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
Conservationists and tribes say they intend to sue the federal government if it does not take steps to protect a rare snail, which is threatened by a lithium mine. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel has more.
The Kings River Purg is tiny, about the size of the tip of a ballpoint pen. And it's found only in an area of Nevada called Thacker Pass, where there are plans to mine lithium, the key ingredient for electric car batteries. Paul Ruprecht is with the Western Watersheds Project. He says mining will shrink the small springs that the snail relies on.
The species is really vulnerable because fluctuations in water availability could really impact its ability to continue to exist in these areas.
The conservation group had previously petitioned the Fish and Wildlife Service to list the snail as endangered. The agency was supposed to make a decision this year, but never did. So the nonprofit and several tribes informed the government they intend to sue. The People of Red Mountain is a group of knowledge keepers from the Fort McDermitt Paiute, Shoshone, and Bannock tribes. They say they have a cultural responsibility to protect native species in the area. Federal officials now have until mid-January to respond. For National Native News, I'm Caleb Radel.
Alaska's vote counting process will finally come to an end this Wednesday, but Nick Begich III is already declaring victory in his bid to unseat U.S. Representative Mary Peltola. Between Friday and Saturday, an additional 24,000 ballots were counted. Although they closed the gap between Peltola and her Republican challenger to about 8,300 votes, Begich still maintains a lead of more than 2 percentage points against Peltola. A candidate must have more than 50% of the vote to avoid ranked choice voting in Alaska. That's when the second choice votes of other candidates in the race are added to the totals. Although 318,000 ballots have been cast, Begich so far has failed to meet that threshold, so the race will likely be determined by ranked choice. Peltola, a Democrat, had a strong, well-financed campaign, but failed to overcome the coattail effect of Donald Trump's big win in Alaska, which boosted Begich's campaign. Meanwhile, a ballot measure that seeks to overturn Alaska's open primary and ranked choice voting system is passing by the slimmest of margins by only 0.2 percentage point. In August 2022, ranked choice voting helped Peltola win a special election to fill Congressman Don Young's seat after his death, making her the first Alaska Native to serve in Congress. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by AARP. AARP creates and connects people to unique tools and programs, helps conserve personal resources, and tackles issues that matter most to individuals, families, and communities. More at aarp.org.
Authentic wool blankets, kitchenware, jewelry, and more designed by inspired natives, not native inspired. Available from 8th Generation who support this show. Holiday sale from Black Friday through Cyber Monday at 8thGeneration.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Hello, guys. Welcome to Indigenous in the News. We're happy to have you on today's show. How are you guys doing?
Hey, what's up? We're blessed.
What's up? How you guys up?
We are gone from today.
Oh, yeah, we're out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, born and raised.
All right. Well, let's get moving. How about we start with some introductions? Little Mike, you take the stand.
Well, I'm Little Mike, also known as Little Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I am 43, about to be 44, and I am a rapper, songwriter, graphic designer, actor, and just motivational speaker.
Right on. You didn't forget any hats, did you?
Right. Do a little bit of everything.
Right on. How about you, Funny Bone? You're next.
Yeah, I'm Funny Bone. It's an acronym. It stands for Fully United, New Nourished, Young Brother of Noble Essence.
Yeah.
I know it's a lot to take in, but I'm 5 years younger than Mike. So Oklahoma City, Pawnee Nation. And like he said, a rapper, actor, motivational speaker. Mm-hmm. We do a little comedy. We keep it short.
Yeah, right on.
Hey, Funny Bones, so who jumped into the rapping game first, or did you guys both do it at the same time?
Yeah, Mike started up 12 years old. He, back in 92, he started doing the, what is it? Before that rapping, he was doing the Michael Jackson dancing. Yeah, so I started off dancing like Michael Jackson, and
sweet.
Then I tried to do poetry with some jazz music. And somebody was like, oh, I liked your rap. And I was like, oh, okay, snap. I might try to rap then. And there was a local radio station that had this thing called Kiss or Diss, and they played my song that I recorded, and everybody kissed it. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do then.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah, I joined in. 5 years later, I jumped in with them, and it kind of just grew from there.
Wow, how cool is that?
Right,
Mike, you've been performing for many years. Has anyone been keeping track of the stages you've been on? How many times?
Track of the stages. Yeah, I mean, we have a couple big fans that track us.
Nice.
On our Reverb Nation page, it keeps track of every. It's like a little Forbes list of.
Oh, nice.
Every show that we've ever done, and not just the show, but also the attendance of the show.
Oh, cool.
So there's that. And I went as far as to hunt down all my shows that we've ever done since 97 and to add those onto the list so that I could throw away some of the flyers.
Right. Put them to bed.
Yeah, because I'm a hoarder when it comes to that stuff, and
yeah.
It was just getting excessive.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Funny Bone, so music is medicine, right? And are you really going to get any message out there? And, you know, what do you like to really sing about?
Ooh, yes, music is medicine, man. I like to touch on multiple topics, whether it be the main issues are drinking and smoking, especially within the indigenous community.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-suicide, I don't know if we can say that on air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, anti-suicide, just anything that is a problem with people, you know, hating, whether it comes with bullies or people just hating in general with the, you know, the racial issues. We discussed that on different tracks. So anything that helps people, man, I like to spread love and help people move forward for the best in their life.
I know music is you can reach the children that way quicker, and they listen to the music. So.
Oh yeah, man, the mind is a sponge, and you soak up so much stuff, and sometimes you don't even know it when you're listening to music, because words have power, and you are what you eat. So you got to be careful what you feed your mind.
Right.
Deep, yeah.
Mike, how many albums have you put out so far, and what?
snap. I want to say 18.
Wow.
Yeah, him 18.
18.
Together 16. Okay. Yeah, together 16. But like me in general 18.
Cool.
We have 10 mixtapes.
Right on. Mixtapes. Heck yeah. Let's talk about the new album, Vibin'. Who picked that name?
Oh,
I like
Vibin'.
It. It's good stuff.
That is 17 songs. It is our latest album featuring some great indigenous artists like Frank Thompson, Brother War.
Brother War.
Who else is on that jump? Oh, gosh. Casp. Casp is on there.
Yeah. Right on.
Then we got Yaz Vega.
Yep.
And, I mean, there's the OGG. Chili Baby,
Nemesis.
And Nemesis.
Nemesis is a battle rapper we've been known for years. And we was just like, we hollered at Stella, Stella Standing Bear to get on that Water Is Life song. Right. And then she took forever to get back with us. And so we were like, hey, we're trying to put this album out. We got to move on. We got to, we moving on to somebody else. And then we was like, you know what? Nemesis, he'll set it off on that track. And
yeah.
It was Thin Juddy.
Water Is Life. And that song just promoting, you know, keeping Mother Earth sacred, treating her sacred, you know, the resources.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that album. This latest album is a lot of powerful topics.
Yeah.
From the boarding school song to police brutality and the Water Is Life. And then what else do we got? I know we have a couple. There's an industry one where we talk about how we stayed independent. It's called Hold Me Back. And it's about not signing to any labels that, you know, threw their record deals at us.
Take our money.
Yeah.
Funny Bone, you know, you just mentioned the boarding school song. And I got to tell you, you know, you sing about some really important issues that affect Native life. You know, the boarding school song is extremely powerful. Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah, man, we actually we wrote that from a perspective from us at being the kids, like as if we were attending one of the boarding schools, and then we have some of the survivors on the course. Yeah, we spent a year writing that song and not knowing if we should put it out because, you know, people be like, oh, y'all just doing it for clout.
Y'all just trying to profit off of this. And
And so it had a hook. I didn't like the hook. And then it had no hook. And I didn't like that either. And then I heard a song from one of my homeboys, Mr. G Reality, where he had news clips playing in the background. And I go, yo. That's what that song needs.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, that's what that song needs is that. And so we added that and it came out perfect. And I was like, okay, so do we put this song out? And so I played it for some elders and then I played it for some younger people. And then I played it for some people that are very judgmental on issues. Dealing with and every person was like, yo, this needs to go out there. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna trust your word because I know we gonna get a lot of feedback and some people might be hating on us. And we put it out there and it had great feedback, so we're just like, okay, cool. Because I know when we put that fist in the air out there, people was like, oh, y'all doing it for money and blah blah blah. And we're like,
absolutely.
For sure. You already know. The West is in the building. Slide straight
out of the code. Today, we're speaking with the native rapping duo Little Mike and Funny Bone. Singers, actors, and entrepreneurs. They have a new album out entitled Vibin'. You can visit them at their place on the web at MikeBoneMedia.com.
Come take a ride with your boys, we making noise. You know we coming up when them haters deploy. Stay focused, no matter what approaches. And never let the feedback make you feel hopeless. A straight road.
Hey, Funny Bones, so you were on the America's Got Talent, right? Mike, how did you make that all happen? Like, and did you get to mingle with the judges afterwards?
Well, the funny thing is, 2 years before we were on America's Got Talent, we auditioned. We drove all the way down to Dallas, and we waited in line, and what? We get in the little room that's the pre-audition to the taping version.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's the no-name judges, and we do our thing, and they said, oh, we're not looking for rappers. So we left, and we had to drive all the way back home. And
so it felt like a waste of time because we was there all day.
Wow.
All day. And yeah, waste of money and time. And
sure.
They call us back 2 years later, say, hey, we want you guys to audition. We're like, click. We just hung up on them. They call back.
That's the best way to get them, though.
Yeah, we hung up like three times. And we're like, the third time, we was like, yeah, I ain't looking for rappers. Click. And then somebody called us back with like persistence and was like, yo, listen, we really want y'all on the show and we want y'all to audition. And we're like, yo, what video did y'all see that y'all really want us on the show?
Right.
And they said it was a video on YouTube of us rapping about Oklahoma. And we were like,
use that.
We was like, use that as a submission because we ain't finna come out and audition.
We said, call us if we make it through, and then we'll do it. And they called
us. I saw you guys on America's Got Talent when you guys came on, man. It was dope, really.
Yeah, right.
And
the video they used wasn't even a good, like, performance. It was us during a morning show, and the song is slow. It is about Oklahoma, but it's just like,
it's a great song, but it's not a performance song.
Yeah, it's not a performance song. And so when we were like, that's the video y'all saw, we're like, all right, wait till y'all see the rain dance.
Right.
Yeah. So I got a question for the both of you. Out of all of your concert performances, which one was the most memorable? How about you, Funny Bone? You go first.
I was going to say, man, this is a little deep. But we did Vegas.
Nice.
And
we
did a performance, and this guy asked us to do his club afterwards.
Private.
He was like, yeah, we heard the word club. Let's go perform. We jump in his limo.
Yeah.
We get there, and there's a big billboard that says world's largest strip club. And yeah, we're faith-based rappers.
Right.
So we're looking at each other like, should we do it? Because I was like, he might make us walk all the way back we don't do it.
Yeah. They didn't read the fine print.
We both wear glasses. So he said, take off the glasses. There, we got censorship right there. So we're like, back up, girl, you get into focus. We get in there. And after we performed, one of the strippers heard God in our music, the spiritual meaning in our music. And she had been praying for a message from God. If she should quit that job.
Oh, wow.
And she took us being there as that message.
No.
And we prayed for her right there in the strip club.
Nice. You brought her some medicine.
That's great. Yeah, man. Spread the medicine.
Right.
What was your most memorable?
Sure.
Most memorable to me was we opened up with Billy Ray Cyrus in Winnipeg, Canada. It was so packed.
Big.
From as far as I could see, there was people on the ground.
Wow.
And then on top of that, there was people like in the parking garage just posted up on each floor, news stations, helicopters, and we were like, man, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And we do our thing, we end out the show with rain dance, and of course clouds roll in, it starts raining, lightning, and they're like, yo, Billy Ray can't come out because it's there's lightning.
Oh, wow.
And this is messed up. And nobody's going indoors. They're like, please go indoors for your safety. And nobody's going. And so Billy Ray's like, I'll just do the show in a thunderstorm. He's like, he did. Kudos to Billy Ray for standing in the rain and performing.
Oh, wow. That is cool.
Sorry about that.
How about you, Mike? Let's talk about your performance on Reservation Dogs. How fun was that? And how did that all happen?
Oh, goodness. So, yeah. Going from a rapper to an actor is different because every time they kept saying, they were saying lines and we were saying, or they were saying script, we were saying lines.
Right.
Because we're rappers, we're like, I remember my lines. We had to learn it like a song. And then sometimes they would change up the script. Yeah, and that threw us way off because we learned it as a song.
Sure.
And so we're just like, this is not right. But it was cool. We got comfortable and used to it because they started having us do our ad libs and doing our own thing. Changing it up, so that was cool. Yeah, so it was very very unique experience. The coolest part was meeting all the celebrities that, you know, Gary Farmer, Graham Greene, John. I mean, everybody you could think of, and we're just like, I just watched you on TV. This is crazy.
You were just on TV.
Right? Yeah. And now I got to, like, stand and wait for you to be in a scene, and that's crazy. So,
sure.
Services, man.
Yeah, very unique experience. And then, like, on top of that, you know, how Sterling was like, yo, I want to make fun of y'all. In this film, I want, you know, to play off of, you know, y'all's Okie accent, y'all's your height, the way y'all sell CDs everywhere y'all go. We want to do that in Reservation Dogs. I think it would be funny if y'all rode bikes all the time, like y'all really like walking or something like that. And we're like, hey, man.
I love it.
I'm cool with it. So, yeah, it was fun to see a master at his craft and to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that they use our music in the show
right was on.
A blessing.
So there was,
You guys like comedy. How fun can it possibly be working with Dallas Goldtooth?
Oh, yes, man. That's
got to be a blast, man.
That is a blast. The first time we met him, though, was on a serious note. Was at Standing Rock, and we were protesting the pipelines.
Oh, sure.
And, man, we had a deep conversation about, you know, life and you know, all this other stuff. And he was like, it's hard being a man of many jokes and then having to switch up to being into a serious mode. But he was like, sometimes somebody's got to stand in the gap. And he was like, and, you know, when you have certain talents, you got to use that so that, you know, people will know what issues to fight for versus somebody just sitting back and not saying nothing. And so that really kicked off our music in a different direction with all the protests and stuff like that. And so with that came right our song. We have a song called It's Our Time. Yeah, It's Our Time. And then we had Fist in the Air, and it was just like, police brutality song, and we're just like, oh my goodness, we knew about doing positive music, but like we never thought we could do a positive song about a serious issue that most other people will probably be cussing a storm on, right? And that's the cool thing about us is we keep all our music clean, so it's family friendly,
right?
And it opens the doors for radio and TV play and different things. So yeah.
How'd you like working with Gary Farmer?
Nice. Oh man, Gary Farmer was fun. We did the, I think it was the Nammies or some kind of award show, and he was performing with his blues band, and we were dancing to the side, and he stopped his act and was like, "You guys, get on stage," and we were
right
like,
on. No.
We got to perform with Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers. Right. And we was like, we're not worthy.
Right.
I like it. Today we're speaking with Little Mike and Funny Bone. They are duo rappers, actors, and entrepreneurs. Mike, do you have any advice for new and upcoming natives breaking into the entertainment business?
Man. Be cautious with people who are trying to use or add you to a roster for their personal gain. And then also, like, when you're making content, make sure you're very critiqueful on your craft.
Yes.
Don't just put out music. Listen to your music and study your song so that you're not just putting out randoms out there for people to pick apart when you're like, oh man, I just threw that together. No, don't just throw that together.
You can't just think it's hot just because you're on it. You know, be your worst critic, you know. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're indigenous, you should already know this. Like, when you're creating a craft or anything, you never want to do it in bad energy because it's contagious. And so you want to do that in good energy. Absolutely. You want to put out stuff that leaves a good legacy, because you're not just representing yourself, you're representing all your family members and your ancestors.
Right, man.
Yeah.
I say, what kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? What do you want to be remembered for? That's why we use our platform for good.
Absolutely.
And include the medicine.
So if if someone wants to book you for a show, how do they get a hold of you, and where do we go to see your merchandise?
Okay. So yeah, MikeBoneMedia.com has all the streaming links, merchandise, contact information. That's MikeBoneMedia.com.
Yeah.
So you can hit us up. We do all kinds of events, festivals, casinos, school events, you name it. We've done it all.
Right on. I'd like to thank you guys for both stopping by today. It's been a pleasure to have you on today's show. Salute.
Thank you for having us, man.
As well, I want to thank you both again for being here. Really do appreciate you sharing everything with us. And, you know, thank you so much for stopping by, sharing your story with us. I think it's great, man. You guys have a great future ahead of you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much, man.
Yeah. Stay in touch with us, guys. Anything happens, new developments, keep us posted. We'll blast them on the air for you.
Hey, keep us posted if y'all have anybody that wants to bring us out.
Yeah. Right on. We'll bring you up nice and tall.
And if you see me on TikTok and Lee Yung Wea, hit me up.
All right. Yeah. Let's do this.
Please
right
do.
On. Right on.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. See y'all.
Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous in the News and supporting us and our entrepreneurs. Indigenous in the News has been produced by Larry Kay. Our assistant producer is Paul Salvatore. Our theme music is composed by Lenny Long. Today's show has been recorded at the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. National Native News is provided by Native Voice One with Antonia Gonzalez. Come visit us at indigenousinmusicandarts.org. to hear all of our past shows and learn all about the great programs that we provide. Until next time, from all of us here at Indigenous in the News, have yourself a wonderful week and safe journeys. Indigenous in the News is a production of Indigenous in Music and Arts.